Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Another heinous crime was committed in Colorado Springs, and several people were killed. A crime of murder, of mass murder, possibly of a hate crime. And the question is, what went wrong? How could that have happened? And what are the solutions, if any? Before I begin to answer those questions, I'd like to read to you from the Associated Press article dated November 21, saying this. A year and a half before he was arrested in the Colorado Springs gay nightclub shooting that left five people dead, Anderson Lee Aldrich allegedly threatened his mother with a homemade bomb, forcing neighbors in surrounding homes to evacuate while the bomb squad and crisis negotiations talked him into surrendering. Now, the bomb was never found. Yet, despite that scare, there is no public record that prosecutors moved forward with felony kidnapping and menacing charges against Aldrich, or that police or relatives tried to trigger Colorado's red flag law that would have allowed authorities to seize the weapons and ammo the man's mother says he had with him. Gun control advocates say Aldrich's June 2021 threat is an example of a red flag law ignored with potentially deadly consequences. But the article goes on to admit, while it is not clear, the law could have prevented Saturday night's attack because such gun seizures can be in effect for as little as 14 days and be extended by a judge in 6 months increments. They say it could have at least slowed Aldrich and raised his profile with law enforcement. But again, no guarantee that the incident would not have happened. It goes on to say, but the law that allows guns to be removed from people deemed dangerous to themselves or others has seldom been used in the state, particularly in El Paso County, home to Colorado Springs, where the 22-year-old Aldrich allegedly went into Club Q with a long gun at just before midnight and opened fire before he was subdued by patrons. Now, again, that is most certainly not the end of the story. People are wondering, why did he do that? I found the following article, which was published by the Washington Post on November 21, quite interesting. I'd like to read to you a few excerpts from it. It says, years before he allegedly walked into a Colorado LGBTQ bar, they say allegedly, even though it's clear he did, but of course he wasn't convicted yet, with an assault-style rifle, the man, now known as Anderson Lee Aldrich, had a different name and a tumultuous past. Until age 15, he was known as Nicholas Brink, living in San Antonio, public records show. His parents separated when he was a toddler, and when he was 12, his mother was arrested for suspected arson, according to court documents. She was later found guilty of a lesser offense in connection with the same incident. At age 15, he became the target of particularly vicious online bullying, in which insulting accusations were posted to a website along with his name and photos. At some point, a YouTube account was created under his name, featuring a crude, profanity-laden animation under the title Asian Homosexual Gets Molested. For unstated reasons, just before his 16th birthday, the young man petitioned a Texas court with two of his grandparents' names on the document to legally change his entire name. His mother's name did not appear on the petition. Of course, he was born in 2000 as the only son of Aaron and Laura Brink of California, and a year later, in July 2001, the couple separated and the divorce was finalized in September 2001. The article rightly points out whether the events of Aldrich's childhood had any bearing on Saturday's horrific violence is unknown. But let me just add, incidents which we encounter in our childhood does form us and do form us. and might very well be responsible for later conduct in our adult life. He goes on to say that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints confirmed in a statement that the alleged shooter was on the membership rolls of the church, but had not been active in the Colorado Springs locations to the best of their knowledge. The church, which until 2019 described people in same-sex marriages as apostates, condemned the shooting in a statement. The senseless act of violence in Colorado Springs is of great sadness and concern to us. We are greatly troubled by any violence in our communities and condemn most especially violent acts that are the result of intolerance against any of God's children. Now, I would subscribe to that statement. I totally agree with it. But you see, having said that, we also have to understand that the Mormon Church, which we are talking about here, is in the process, at least there are some movements there, to change their stance on practicing homosexuality. Now, let me just say that practicing homosexuality is not anything which the Bible, neither the Old Testament nor the New Testament, condones. But then there are many things which the Bible doesn't condone. Living in sin, in other words, living in a relationship which is not a marital relationship, like premarital sex, is also something the Bible does not condone. God does not condone. And he doesn't condone lying or stealing or killing, committing adultery, taking his name in vain, and so on. Now, this doesn't mean that because there are developments which are not in accordance with God's law, we just can go out and take a gun and just shoot people because they don't live by the standards we want them to live by. They don't believe what we believe. Who has made us, who has made you the accuser and the juror and the judge and the hangman? You see, my friends, there are all kinds of solutions being proposed. Solutions like do away with weapons. Now, of course, the fascination of the American people with weapons, with guns, is something most Western nations cannot understand. And people are saying, yeah, but the Second Amendment gives us this right to carry, to bear, and to use weapons against others. And every citizen has that right. Now, there's a big discussion as to whether that is actually what the Second Amendment says. But again, I'm not going into that one at this point. But regardless, as long as we believe that violence is something which can be a solution to our problem, we will never find the solution. And let me remind you that you don't need a firearm to kill others. The best example right now would be the terrible crimes committed in Idaho, where four students were killed by somebody using a knife. Three girls, one man, one young man. And the idea seems to be that this murderer apparently has killed others before also with a knife. So no firearm was necessary for that. Now, it is because people believe in violence in any manner, shape, or form. Let me just say this. Violence is never the solution. Violence breeds more violence. Wars breed more wars. You know, you may say, well, but I have to have a gun to defend myself and I'm being attacked. That is the human carnal reasoning of man. That is not what Jesus Christ is teaching us. And we are supposed to be a Christian nation, aren't we? When Peter took the sword to kill, because that's what he wanted to do, the servant of the high priest, you know, he cut off his ear, but he was probably aiming for his head. Knowing full well that they had come to arrest Christ to kill him, because that's what Christ had told them before that would happen. What did Christ say? He said, put your sword away, for whoever takes the sword shall perish by the sword. And later, in the book of Revelation, he repeats the same statement. The one who kills with a sword will be killed with a sword. Now, that's a principle. That's something which Jesus Christ is teaching us, but most people don't accept that. Most people think violence is justified in certain situations, at least. And so we have a country where we are killing innocent life by the millions. I'm talking about abortion. I'm talking about the fact that we are killing our children, conceived children, babies, in our mother's wombs for whatever reason. You know, whether it's incest or abortion or rather violations, you know, this is just a small portion of why abortions are taking place. Rape is not the main reason for abortions. The main reason is that the child is inconvenient. It's not anything we want to have at this point. And so we kill the children. Sometimes we kill them even after they are born because we say, oh, well, the child is handicapped. Or we kill them because the mother's life allegedly is in danger. Whatever the reason, we are committing violence against an innocent child, an innocent human being. And that is always wrong. What about going to war? You might say, well, you know, okay, it's all right not to kill somebody in times of peace. We accept that, except when it comes to abortion or self-defense. But, well, we all have to go to war to kill our enemy. Sometimes it's a preemptive war. Sometimes it's a war in response to an attack. But in doing so, we are killing many innocent people to begin with. We call that casualties of war, which are necessary. We are killing people. Did you know that God does not condone that? Under no circumstance does he allow a Christian to participate in war. War is wrong. You might say, well, but, you know, people have fought in war in Old Testament times. Yes, they have. But God also makes very clear that this was never his intent, and it was always wrong. People made their choices. They made the wrong choices. People today make their choices. They always make the wrong choices if they think that violence can be a solution. Jesus Christ will have to return to this earth to put an end to man's mismanagement and misrule because man will have gone so far as to destroy all human life on this earth with nuclear weapons, with chemical weapons, biological weapons, and it would happen until Christ wouldn't return, shortening those days and replace man's misrule. Now that should tell us something. And when he rules on this earth, we are reading that people will then not any longer want to learn war anymore or violence against other human beings. And they will do away with their guns and they will replace them with agricultural instruments, useful instruments. Why is that? Because the way of God is not the way of destruction. It is not the way of war. It is not the way of violence. It is the way of peace. We are living in New Testament times, and the Apostle Paul is telling us, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And that is what we are supposed to be living by God's Spirit, which gives life. So, my friends, let me just say this. As long as we are believing, even in our own minds, that violence is something which is justifiable under certain circumstances, we will not find the solutions to our problems. Like General MacArthur said at one time, it has to be of the Spirit if we want to save the flesh. Now, I have said a lot of things today which many of you might not agree with, but we have prepared a free booklet. And that free booklet has to do with war. Should You Fight in War is the title of that booklet. And it goes into all of these scriptures and many more, telling you why in Old Testament times people fought in war, committed violence against others, and why it was wrong. And why Christ is telling us today, you live in peace. Blessed are those who create and make peace. Not war, not violence, not all the wrong concepts which are permeating our society. If you do that, then you will live in peace with yourself, with your neighbor, and most importantly, with God. And so I encourage you strongly to ask for our free booklet, Should You Fight in War? And until next time, this is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.